There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstteeclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's the third hour here of our G-Bag Nation with you on 105.3 The Fan. We're about an hour away from the Eric Kendrick show. We'll talk with the Cowboys linebacker. He was out of today's practice along with Zach Martin and Deron Bland. And of course, Dak Prescott, we're standing by for official word on that. Will he be on IR or not? But joining us now, a familiar voice and personality here on 105.3 The Fan. Did the pre- and post-game show on Cowboys Radio Network for some years with Brian and did other things around the halls here at 105 through the Fan. It's Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio. You can listen on the TuneIn app. And good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm great. How are you, bud? Long time no talk. In fact, it's funny. We do our show out of the Fan studios every morning, so I'm there every day now from 7 to 10 a.m.
Yeah, I keep expecting to see you when I step in about 12:30 or so every day. But how's it going year one talking Big 12 with no Texas and OU? What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different animal. You know, I mean, obviously in where we live, you know, those are two huge brands. I mean, you could argue aside from Texas Tech and maybe Baylor that there's no, you know, larger fan bases in the DFW Metroplex than Texas and OU. It's a huge deal. But Colorado, you know, from a brand perspective, has really slid in, and I mean, they're legit. I mean, that's, you know, that is as good of a team and program, you know, in terms of the growth. What Deion has done is incredible, and obviously his son and Travis Hunter play a huge role in that. But I'm not gonna lie, the idea of the Cowboys maybe being in tank mode and then Shedeur Sanders potentially being, you know, a guy that could get drafted, I don't know if they're gonna be that bad, but like you might shoot for that because Shedeur is legit, man. And having another Sanders in Dallas would be incredible.
Yeah, do you think that could work with prime coaching and Shedeur playing? I mean, what all would come along with that?
I mean, look, this is a guy that has taken an absolute beating as the quarterback of Colorado. Last year he sustained 60 sacks. Okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, he took an absolute beating in 12 games, 60 sacks. I mean, think about that. And his numbers, despite that, are incredible. I mean, he put up big-time numbers, low interception numbers. So this is a guy that, like, has proven over the last couple of years that you can beat him up as much as you want. He's going to still get up and make throws. And, I mean, there's definitely some, you know, prima donna there, and he's very similar to his dad in that regard and, you know, probably grew up a lot differently than his dad did. But what he's done this year, too, I mean, he was sacked a ton at the beginning of the year. They've really figured out how to protect him a little bit in their offensive line, and that's the biggest reason why, you know, they're now bowl eligible and, you know, pushing for the potential playoff spot here, ranked 20th in the first CFP rankings.
Going into Lubbock this weekend to take on Texas Tech, how do you see that one going, Ari?
Yeah, that's, I think, the aside from the Holy War, which is now a Big 12 game. How crazy is that? BYU-Utah.
It's amazing.
It's complete
with a Jewish quarterback in BYU.
BYU sitting with a first round bye in the college football playoff.
Right. BYU is first round bye in the college football playoff with a Jewish quarterback in 2024. And Utah, who was a top 10 team preseason, expected to win the Big 12 year one. They're just 1-4 in the midst of a 4-game losing streak and questions about Kyle Whittingham in terms of their future. But so aside from that, which is obviously a huge rivalry game, this is the game of the weekend in the Big 12. And there's, you know, there's a huge Dallas tie to this game, too, with Joey McGuire having coached at Cedar Hill. Yeah. He actually coached Bucky, Deion's son, years ago at Cedar Hill. And then, you know, Deion has talked this week at length about how Joey McGuire was the grand poobah of Dallas area high school football coaches, and how, you know, when Deion stepped in as one of those, that Joey was extremely welcoming and, you know, gracious and helpful. And, you know, so how ironic is that, that essentially, you know, two former Dallas high school football coaches are now coaching in the Big 12 against each other. One of them, of course, is Deion, and the other is Joey McGuire for Texas Tech. And look, Texas Tech lost two straight to TCU and Baylor, but since then they bounced back with a huge win last week against Iowa State. But Colorado's coming off a bye. It's their second bye of the season. Every team in the Big 12 gets that second bye this year. And so I think that's a huge advantage, even though they're going into Lubbock. It's going to be a raucous environment. The last time that Texas Tech beat a team that was at least 7-0 was Texas back in 2008 in that iconic game with Michael Crabtree. So, look, I mean, Texas Tech under Joey McGuire has not been, you know, exactly Mike Leach per se, but I mean, at 6-3 now, you know, they're pushing their third consecutive plus 500 season in the Big 12 and looking for more. And aside from this game, their schedule opens up, and same with Colorado, which is why I think a lot of people like Colorado as a potential playoff team here.
Hey, Ari, I just wanted to know what the identity of the BYU team is this year.
Well, you know, Brian, Kalani Sitake is all about that stuff.
I mean, yeah, he is all about that much, identity, for sure.
He is all about culture building and identity. That's a throwback, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
but, I mean, look, when you looked at BYU's roster coming into this season, and obviously, Brian, you follow this stuff because your depth of knowledge in the draft and college players is huge. Like, they didn't have – like, based on personnel, there was no way anybody could have seen this season coming for BYU.
Sure.
Because they basically bring back everybody from a team last year that was really, really bad, especially on defense.
Yeah.
Well, Jay Hill, who was at Weber State as the head coach and now takes over in year two as the defensive coordinator for BYU, and is, you know, Kalani and he both coached at Utah previously. You know, it's really taken. I mean, that's the thing, is their defense was atrocious last year. Year two under Jay Hill, it's really taken in a way. So a lot of these guys took a huge step forward. So, you know, that's been the biggest piece to success for BYU this year. Do I think they're going to end the season undefeated? No, I do not. I do not think that. And while they shouldn't lose this weekend, this is kind of how it works at the end of a college football season when you've got teams that haven't lost yet. Like, every week is a different mountain to climb. And even if the team in the standings is far below them, it just doesn't make a difference, and especially in a rivalry game like this. But, yeah, I mean, it's funny you mentioned that about BYU, because they really are, like, culturally – like, that's been the difference. It's not a personnel change. I mean, this was a bad team last year. It's basically the same team, just the coaching has been so much better and probably more in line with what they're doing this year in terms of their success.
Talking with our buddy Ari Temkin here in the G-Bag Nation, what are your thoughts on TCU? I mean, ever since they make that unbelievable run in the national championship, it seems like things have not quite gone as planned.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny because sort of the area teams in the Big 12, if you will, TCU, Texas Tech, and Baylor have been so up and down this season. And it's like it's like a round robin. They've all beaten each other up, and there's no rhyme or reason for it. I mean, look, the game last week was a really tough loss, but then it came on the heels of a really awesome win for them against Texas Tech, kind of what I was just alluding to. Josh Hoover, their quarterback, is probably the best quarterback in the country that you've never heard about. Obviously, people locally have because they follow TCU, but like he's been really, really good all year. The issue is he started off the year, I think, without throwing an interception after his first three or four games, and he's thrown a lot more interceptions of late. But that's what happens when you have no depth in terms of your running game. Like, they don't have any balance at all. They cannot run the football, and so they're throwing the ball a ton. And, like, so, I mean, going back to your question, Zach, like, the issue with TCU is when they made that magical run in Sonny Dykes' first year, like, it was – great, you know, great offensive line, great quarterback play, really good receivers, you know, depth at running back. They had a great defense. Like, they have not put it together defensively. Now, a big part of that for me this year is Andy Avalos comes in, really good defensive mind, but a dramatic shift from what they had been doing. You know, they were really a odd front, three down front, and now in Andy Avalos' system, they're more of that traditional four man front. And so, do they have the personnel on the defensive line to run that, or is it going to take a few years? So, like, when you look at the first few, you know, the first six, seven games of the season, and, yeah, it wasn't working defensively. And I would attribute a lot of that to year one in a brand-new defensive front without having the personnel to do it. And look, they've been a lot better of late. So you hope that you see some consistency. But I mean, if anything in football, you see it once, it's an anomaly. You see it multiple times, it becomes a pattern. And that's the biggest thing with TCU's defense.
Well, and now, Ari, you have Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy and the Cowboys coming to Fort Worth this weekend. Just how ridiculous has the fallout been from the Mike Gundy comments? Does he have any more fans there that have respect for him?
Yeah, I mean, how ridiculous were those comments? I mean, what would have happened if any other coach had said the same thing? What happens if Deion says that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable how, like, just tone-deaf and crazy those comments were. And look, this season is unprecedented for Oklahoma State. You know, it's funny because Vegas didn't really catch up to how bad Oklahoma State was, and they still were favored in lines where they shouldn't have been, and everybody just picked them because it's like, well, no way they start the season 0-4 in conference play. No way they start the season 0-5 in conference play. No way they start the season 0-6 in conference play. Like, if you take the history out of it, they're a really bad football team. And, I mean, their defense was bad last year. They gave up a ton of yards. The difference was they had a splash play guy on the defensive end with Colin Oliver. Well, Oliver's been out all year, and so has their best tackler at linebacker in Nick Martin. So it's like they're basically the same team last year, the difference being that the Doak Walker Award winner and Ali Gordon has had a really down year, and their two defensive splash players have been out all year. So it's like they're basically the same team, but how much different are things at quarterback position when you've got a 2,000-yard rusher essentially, and then on defense, again, when you got guys that can make up for giving up a ton of yardage. So, I mean, that's where we're at. They can't stop anybody on the ground. I mean, it's unbelievable what they're doing defensively on the ground, like 300-plus yards, 400-plus yards. And on top of that, they can't run the ball. So, I mean, it's like they've got a bad offense. They can't move the ball. They can't run the ball, and they can't stop anybody. You know, and this is really unprecedented. In Mike Gundy's first year in 2005, they lost 7 Big 12 games, did not make a bowl, and finished under 500. In the 18 years since then, they have finished over 500 every single season and made a bowl game in every single season. And the most losses they've had since that first year in conference was 6. They're at 0-6, guys, and there's nothing that on paper that looks like they can win a football game this year in the Big 12. Like, I look at the rest of their schedule, and I don't see how they win a game unless something crazy happens. So, yeah, I mean, an 18-year streak is about to end this year in terms of finishing over 500, getting to a bowl game, and a all-time loss record for Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State.
Are we talking hot seat stuff at all? Is there no chance he's going to be gone?
You know, I mean, Barry Trammell, who's covered Oklahoma sports for a long time, he wrote for the Tulsa World yesterday basically questioning whether or not Mike Gundy wants to continue to coach. You know, he's constantly criticizing the NIL world, and the transfer portal, and it's like, look, you can complain about it, but you got to deal with it. Like, that's just the nature of the beast. And if you don't want to deal with that, then get out. There are a lot of coaches that have done that. A lot of really good coaches in basketball and in college football that have jumped because of that. So, you know, I think that question remains. Now, Mike Gundy has enough credibility there, both as a player and coach, that he kind of gets to decide his own timeline. So, you know, I think it's a question he's got to ask himself this offseason. But look, if they have a really down year this year, if they have another down year next year, suddenly the arithmetic may change a little bit in terms of, you know, his decision. And again, his comments, like the president of the university had to come out and release a statement basically dispelling those comments. So, I mean, that's going to hurt your credibility a little bit internally.
No, 18 years, that's why he said what he said. Because some of these coaches live in such a bubble that they, outside, it just doesn't, they don't have any understanding of really what goes on in the outside world. So they can make comments like that and not feel like there's any ramifications because, well, I'm the football coach here. I've won 18 straight years. You know, nobody's going to touch me. You know, that's
totally
why these
right,
coaches.
Brother.
Yeah, that's why these coaches they do what they do. That's why they make the statements that they do.
And they're in such a, to your point, they're in such a vacuum, and they're so inundated with how good they are and how good their programs are and how important their programs are within the grand scheme of things. That you're right, they lose complete sight of any sort of reality or resemblance of reality. It's crazy. And look, it's sort of wild because there's parallels between he and Kyle Whittingham at Utah. And, Whittingham has already named Morgan Scalley, their longtime defensive coordinator, as head coach in waiting. He famously said in 2021 he wasn't going to coach at the age of 65. He's going to be 65 next month.
Right.
And they've had a dreadful year. They've been awful. So it's two teams that were – I mean, it's sort of interesting. Four of the top five teams in the preseason poll of the Big 12 are four of the worst five teams in the Big 12 right now. That's Kansas, Arizona, Oklahoma State, and Utah. And those two at the parallel between Whittingham and Gundy came in coaching in 2005, the same exact year. So, I mean, it's the parallels there, too, in terms of could this be the last year for both of them? And I think, you know, the answer at this point in time is maybe.
That Lance Leopold, man, at Kansas, wow, that thing's kind of gone south, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback, you know, this is a guy that was really, really good a couple of years ago who got hurt and missed all of last season. Jason Bean stepped in, was phenomenal for Kansas, helping them get to a 9-win season. But, you know, Andy Kotelnicki, their really talented offensive coordinator, went this offseason to Penn State.
Okay.
And they have not been able to replace him. Jeff Grimes came over from Baylor. You know, they talked all offseason about trying to keep things the same schematically, but you just can't. I mean, I hate that idea or notion from teams. It's always, to me, it's always a disaster. When you've got to change, I understand the familiarity, but you've got to change things over to this new staff. Otherwise, you're kind of like half pregnant in a sense. So I think that's what's gone wrong with them. But also, it's crazy. Like, they played, I think it's like their last five losses have been decided by 13 total points.
Wow.
So, like, they're just losing in the margins in every way.
What did you think about TCU's big comeback win over BYU in the semifinals of the women's soccer tournament?
It was a huge win.
Yeah.
And sets up a Saturday matchup, Gavin, with my Jayhawks, the sixth seed, who need to win in order to get that automatic bid into the NCAA tournament.
You're the man.
TCU's in. They're one of the best programs in women's soccer. That's how deep my Big 12 knowledge goes, guys.
I love it. Very impressive, okay, well, Ari.
Real quick, since you're a big Kansas guy, did you know about the Mark Mangino towel intern situation?
With the wiping
poop.
His rear end.
Yeah.
With the towels. Yeah, that's just the tip of the iceberg, guys.
We'll have to have you back soon for the rest of that iceberg.
Seriously, man. We're going to get some more details on that.
Thank you, Ari.
Take care, guys.
Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio on the TuneIn app. And, yeah, our suite mate's up here on the 11th floor, 75 and 50, Brian. I know you love that.
How about that? He's a good man.
Okay, yeah. Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420 is coming up next. Where are you taking us?
It's Eagles week. Every week I'm reminded, every year when they play them, just how much I hate the Eagles. Top 10 most memorable Cowboys-Eagles moments. What's one that stands out to you?
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
That's next.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420 here. Looks like we're about 35 minutes now from the Eric Kendrick Show, Cowboys Players Show, Thursdays at 5 o'clock here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Window Nation. Here he is, Zach, with an H. Your Wooly Bully.
Thank you very much. It's Eagles week. Eagles suck. Never forget it. 877-881-1053. What are some of your Cowboys, Eagles memories? There's not a team in any sport that I despise more than the Philadelphia Eagles. I really can't stand them. In fact, if the Cowboys had to go and just win two games, that's it. I would love it to be the two Eagle games. Like, if I could handpick it, they're like, hey, the Cowboys are only winning two games. One, that would stink, and my heart would be broken, but I would say, well, can you at least just make it the filthy games, please?
Okay, what if you lose out and you get the number one overall pick, or you can beat filthy both times, but now you're picking ninth? Would it be worth it to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
I love it, man. That's the level of hate, disdain, and sports passion, just total disdain that you have for the Eagles.
Now, I wouldn't eat poop like those fans do. If you're like, hey, you got to eat poop.
No, because you don't want to be like them.
I'd say no. I'll take the losses, I guess. But, yeah, I can't stand them. I mean, honestly, just the win, I know, big picture, that might not be good for this team. But I want it. All right, I want the dub.
I
want Cooper Rush being victorious this weekend.
It's kind of like how I was after the Detroit Lions did all the disrespectful stuff. It was like, if they're going to trade for Micah Parsons at the deadline, you're going to have to throw in, I might just say no. I might just trade block it all.
Yeah.
You say, no, you can't have, I don't care how much. I don't care if you want to do a Ricky Williams, Mike Ditka trade. You just give me your entire draft. Like, no, I'm not doing that for you.
Damn right. Does look like CD is going to be good to go. He said, my shoulder is much better than it was on Sunday. I'll tell you that. I feel like I've taken a big step last 2 to 3 days. I'm good. I was out there running today. He also said he has no plans of wearing a protective brace Sunday, courtesy of our buddy John Machota. So that sounds like great news for CeeDee Lamb to be ready to go. And, hey, his numbers to Cooper Rush were not bad a few years ago when Cooper had to come in and play five games in place of Dak. Now, the defense was outstanding during that run. Big reason he was able to go 4-1.
Yeah.
Defense not playing quite as well now. But Michael also trending positively to return.
Yeah, Cooper Rush can go undefeated if all you need is like 19 points per game. You know, he can handle that for you.
A lot of texts coming in here. I don't remember the year, but it was the old Texas Stadium. Dennis Thurman, safety. He was the leader of the Thurman Thieves back
in the day.
Is this
when he knocked out
Harold Carmichael
right in front of me.
Really?
Harold Carmichael had a catch streak, I think it was 107 games in a row. And Thurman just blasted him under the bench.
Wow.
And that was the end of that streak. But yeah.
One that I'll always remember, that Monday Nighter, and I got this on Twitter a lot, but it was a hell of a game, back and forth. Felix Jones had a kick return for a touchdown, and then DeSean Jackson had the infamous, just throws the ball backwards at the 1 yard line before he actually scores, and I think Roy Williams had the awareness to maybe chase that one down, but that game was an epic back and forth. Cowboys did end up getting the win that night, Monday Night Football, an amazing game. But I'll always remember that, the DeSean Jackson gaffe and being there at Texas Stadium. I think that might have been the last Eagles-Cowboys game played at Texas Stadium.
That was an incredible historic moment. I also feel like right along with the incredible Romo scramble against Houston and a couple others, you have the McNabb epic scramble that seemed like it went on like 15 seconds and then he found Freddie Mitchell.
That's the night. That was also
a Monday night game.
That was a Monday night game.
I got to be at that one. That was actually a Desperate Housewives commercial that aired.
Yeah, but there was also
T.O. and the towel dropping.
Oh, wow. That was over the top.
I think that's when Jerry first met with Bill Parcells at Teterboro Airport, New Jersey.
Oh.
That was Dave Campo. Yeah, we were. That was when all it started with getting Bill to be the next head coach that night.
Yeah, it was the McNabb era Eagles was just a pain in the ass. And in fact, that
Andy
night,
Reed.
That 3rd and 10 in 2004, 49-21, McNabb ran around for 14 seconds.
Yeah.
You've got Greg Ellis chasing him. I mean, it was he was running back and forth and back and forth, and he ends up hitting Freddie Bleepin Mitchell, of all people, 60 yards down the field and resulted in a 49-21 win.
You know, my favorite, like any time I think of Freddie Mitchell, I think of the Bill Belichick quote from a game that they played, I guess, many years ago. But the quote from Bill Belichick on Freddie Mitchell was, quote, all he does is talk. He's terrible. And you can print that. I was happy when he was in the game.
That's amazing.
That's one of the greatest Bill Belichick quotes of all time.
Yes, the 214, the Randall Williams onside kick return. So they that started was, yeah. that damn pickle juice game, pickle which juice will be game. On
Andy,
this
that was Andy Reid,
with an onside kick. Yeah. A couple of years later, they decide, all right, we're back at Texas Stadium. Let's onside it again. Randall Williams catches it in midair, goes straight down the field for a touchdown.
That was John Harbaugh was a special teams coach then when he did that.
Gosh, that was amazing. I mean, just beating the Eagles, because it didn't happen. Like the early 2000s, like my childhood, when I'm like really now, I've got a cognitive memory of watching Dallas Cowboys football. It was just get your ass kicked by the Eagles. And maybe that's what also has like the disdain that I have for them. Because the Cowboys went on a run, they'd always beat Washington. It's like the run they're on with the Giants now. Washington, I could chalk up. That was two dubs every single year. No big deal.
Chalk it.
Didn't matter how bad the Cowboys were. They'd find a way to beat Washington. The Giants, it was like, well, you'll have some battles here. But the Eagles, they just couldn't beat the damn Philadelphia Eagles. And then finally, the Randall Williams one was one of those. They finally found a way to get that job done. But McNabb definitely, it felt like he owned us for a little while.
Yeah. Oh, he did. Yeah. And those are tough formative years to go through as a young man.
Stunk. Thanks a lot, Brian.
Yeah,
blame you.
Don't mention it.
Blame you.
817 Witten losing his helmet.
Oh, that's amazing. That one's an amazing one. Lucius, you have any Cowboy Eagle memories?
I sure do. With Sunday Night Football, Dak's comeback against the Eagles.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that because I was with Ted Nichols Payne the whole night.
Oh, TNP.
Yeah, it was so amazing. Like walking in the bowels of it. Like that was my first time really being down there in the bowels of it. So I'm seeing Dak. Like you could see the glow on his face because he had the comeback victory. And you see him walking down there smiling. I'm like, oh my God.
Badass. That's really cool.
Yeah, man, it was pretty good. Sweet night.
Man. The number nine is Emmitt's Halloween night, 1993. He had 237 yards on that disgusting rain-soaked AstroTurf at Veterans Stadium. 23-10. Cowboys got the win. Highest single-game rushing total in Cowboys franchise history until DeMarco Murray broke it in 2011 against the Rams when he ran for 253.
Spray tan.
44-6 is number eight. That was the Romo quote. This is the worst thing that will ever happen to me. Then I've
lived a pretty good life. So we got the real Romo right there, baby.
That was a bad one, right? There's 27-3 at half, and the Eagles went on to win 44-6.
That's when we knew he needed some PR training.
That's gross. That was
gross. He didn't talk after that.
No, not much at all.
No.
Once a week in Oxnard, we're lucky.
Number seven is the 1980 NFC Championship. Between 68 and 79, Eagles lost to the Cowboys in all but three matchups. NFC Championship game, 1980 season, teams met.
Oh, yeah.
At the Vet.
At the Vet.
Vermeil against
cold
Landry.
Day, yeah.
Oh,
God, it was cold
man.
Day.
Dallas was shut out in the second half as Danny White and the Cowboys lost to freaking Ron Jaworski. Bleep you, filthy. Six is it wasn't a fourth and a foot. It was fourth and a ding-a-ling.
Load left.
Yeah, the Barry Switzer fourth down fail. I'll never forget it. Like that is my biggest memory from that game is Deion Sanders post game saying it was not fourth and a foot, it was fourth and a ding-a-ling. It's tied at 17. And Cowboys ran the exact same play, load left to Emmitt Smith, and the Eagles stuffed it. Five, and this one's been texted in a lot. The Eagles fans cheering Michael Irvin.
Yeah, I feel like that's legendary.
He ended up having to have that, the spine.
That's the low point of the rivalry.
Again, that's just disgusting. I mean, I expect nothing less from that fan base. Four is the pickle juice game.
That was, yeah.
Four is the pickle juice game.
It was a hot day.
2000. More than 20 Eagles players reportedly drank pickle juice before the game to help them with dehydration.
Yeah.
Eagles, after the onside kick recovery, had Deuce Staley running for 200-plus yards.
That was the end of us.
You drink too much of that pickle juice, you get the run.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Joey Galloway tore his ACL.
He did.
That same game.
That same game. And the game was out of hand, and he was in there playing along the sidelines.
That was terrible. Yeah, 41-14, Eagles thrilled the Cowboys that day. Number three, this is not a game. This is just an epic moment. Hut, hut! Shout out to Drew Pearson, who was on last night with Bobby right here on 105 Through the Fan telling legendary stories. But it's the draft moment. 2017 NFL draft.
Oh.
And Drew Pearson just trolls the Eagles faithful.
It's like, great.
Thank you for allowing me to have a career in the National Football League. Go bleep yourself.
It was special, and I love reliving it every single year on draft day.
Yeah, that's the peak of the rivalry right there.
It's no better. Beautiful tradition. So
yeah, the Zeke hurdle at Lincoln Financial Field, that's a badass moment. Absolutely. Yeah.
We got a lot of the Amari game winners off the foot or whatever.
That was overtime, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They drove the length of the field to overtime.
And that might actually be one of the games that Lucius is talking about.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper went into the huddle and told Dak, like, dude, no, I got this coverage. Yeah. Just throw it to me.
Right.
And first play, boom, go. And they won that game in OT. Number two is the playoff drought being snapped. You go to 2009. Back-to-back weeks, Cowboys shut out the Eagles in the finale to go ahead and win the division. Following week, they've got to play again at AT&T Stadium. Cowboys win their first playoff game since the Super Bowl there, 34-3. 13 years. Franchise's first postseason victory in 13 years. And then they end up losing to Minnesota the next week. And then Bounty Bowls, 1 and 2, are number one. You had the Bounty Bowl with Tom Landry and Jimmy Johnson and Eagles coach Buddy Ryan.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's post-game presser that night was incredible. So he's like, I would have said something to Buddy, but he took his fat rear end to the locker room. Amazing. I mean,
it was a bar.
Honorable man, like the T.O. return to Philly in 2006. That was a big one as well. The Jason Witten losing his helmet. There's a lot of great ones.
I had one actually when I was working for Philly in 1997. Yeah. We were in a game where we were, it's a back and forth kind of game, but Ty Detmer completes a pass to Freddie Solomon for 46 yards. And we get down. It's a chance for the game-winning field goal. We're in the Dallas 4. We call timeout. We snap the ball. Tommy Hutton, the punter, is holding. All we had to do is kick. It's like an extra point. We're going to win this game. Mm-hmm. Me and Lombardi are packing stuff up in the press box. We just won.
You got to play through the whistle, man.
Snap gets dropped. Deion Sanders makes the tackle on Hutton as he's trying to get to the end zone. And we lost the game 21-20. But we Ty Detmer got us in field goal range to win it.
Gosh.
And we just completely, just burp it up and throw it up, dropping the snap.
That stings.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
You don't forget those.
That's a tough one.
No, that was a bad one.
Yeah. Putting your faith in Ty Detmer, it's a hard place to be as a
front office telling
guy.
You what, man. Yeah. Ty, no, I'm just telling you, though, he had 46 yards to Freddie Solomon. It was a great pass.
He makes some plays.
Some plays.
Yeah.
But all we had to do was run the Dallas 4-yard line. All we had to do was make the field goal, and we're winning. I mean, it's not like we had to make a 60-yard field goal. We just dropped the snap.
Serves you right.
Oh,
going to work in
so
filthy.
So bad.
But yeah, that's a gut check. Oh, yeah, Romo's last touchdown pass was in Philadelphia.
It was to the corner. That's Terrence right. Williams, yeah.
There you
put
go,
on a clinic. Thank you, Woolchuck. In addition to the finest coming up next, Chief.
Adam Schefter, deny. Plus, I believe we can cross this coach's name off the Cowboys wish list next year in the nation.
Thank you, Lucius. We're about 15 minutes or so from Eric Kendrick's show here on your home of the Cowboys. Time now for an edition of the finest with the Chief. Eric.
Remember last week when Adam Schefter got popped, Woolchuck had it in NFL News of the Day for using a clip of Thursday Night Football Amazon Prime, but it was clearly from an illegal stream, meth stream, what it was called. And he has apparently been quoted as saying, that's the most ridiculous thing that I was accused of trying to save $8.99 a month when my wife spends an average of $8.99 a minute with Amazon. So he's like, dude, he actually pulled it from somebody. Somebody else had clipped it and tweeted it, and then he took their video and used it for his. So he was like, come on, I'm not actually
pirating.
Skimping on the Amazon Prime thing.
No, you'll just steal other people's videos.
Which
give damn credit, Shefty.
Now
and snitching kinda at the same time.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you do have
this actually makes it worse.
Twitter credits the person. Like if Dawson tweets out a video and then I take that video and tweet it out, it will show that this was from Dawson's account at the bottom of it. So Twitter has it built in. And I guess people just overlooked that when Schefter copied that guy's particular video.
So if I save a video and then put it up from my gallery, it'll still remember? That's pretty sophisticated.
I don't think you can just save it to your phone like that.
Okay.
I don't think it'll let you do that. If you take it from Twitter, you would basically have to screen record it, and then that would be a new file for your gallery, and then you could tweet it out yourself.
All right.
That's at least from my experience. Tonight, you have Thursday Night Football, Ravens and Bengals. T. Higgins going to be out. And the numbers for Ja'Marr Chase go way down when T. Higgins is out. His numbers, Ja'Marr Chase's, have been so much better when T. Higgins is playing on the field with him, and defenses are having to account for a lot of different things. And Ja'Marr Chase had a huge game versus the Ravens a few weeks ago in the barn burner that went to overtime, and the Ravens ended up getting that victory. But no T. Higgins tonight, so that's going to be a bummer. You have the Nico Collins stuff. It doesn't look like he's going to be able to be designated to return in time to play versus the Lions this weekend, so that's going to be a challenge for sure. And I saw that the Pro Football Hall of Fame now has welcomed in the Commanders' Hail Mary touchdown. Jaden Daniels, Noah Brown, and they have like the pylon, they have the ball, they have the gloves that Noah Brown was wearing. So they've honored the play for whatever reason. I guess it was for such a, I don't know if it's because it's a rookie or whatever, but I'm like, how many Hail Marys have we seen before?
It was historic in the last like minute, or they had the two lead changes. It was the first time in NFL history that we had had that many lead changes within like 30 seconds, yeah, or whatever the heck it was.
Okay. Well, then I hope that
I don't know if that's their justification, but I do know that that was a historic moment.
It was. Okay. Well, because I'm thinking, how many times has Aaron Rodgers done a Hail Mary? Are we getting Aaron Rodgers gear?
Just
into
happened
the,
this year, right?
Yeah.
Right at the half.
You ever been in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Kind of looking for things.
Oh, really?
Kind of looking
we'll
for
just
things.
Take anything that's cool and just put it in there?
Kind of looking for things.
Well, then I would hope they would have Saquon Barkley's cleats or whatever, or the drug test.
Yeah, the drug test. That would be awesome.
The cup with the urine in it. Yeah, it would be great.
And then you just have like a little screen with that highlight playing on a loop, and it was like, this guy did this completely naturally. Yeah. He did not need any drugs to pull off the first ever 180 hurdle move in football history.
We got a lot of things that were kind of just, oh, hey, that's what that is. Okay, you know, you're walking around.
Yeah.
You got it. You know, you could honestly, the best thing about it is walking in there and looking at all the statues. That's the main attraction.
The bus?
The bust.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well,
the busts.
You know, we've talked about the Cowboys and the potential head coach search that they're about to be going on. Hopefully it's a exhaustive search of sorts, but everybody wants Ben Johnson. And one of the things that is a hindrance to the Cowboys, other than just the way the
Ben
front office,
the Chicago job.
Well, apparently, yes, Albert Breer did say that last year Ben Johnson wanted the Bears job, but it never came open. So maybe that is just the easy route that he wants to take. Yeah. He's zeroed in on it. But, you know, we know that it potentially could be a challenge to have a great coach here when the hierarchy is Jerry's the owner and general manager and that whole dynamic. And so that could be working against you if you're trying to go after like the one seed commodity for a coach in a particular offseason. That's clearly Ben Johnson, the play caller for the Lions. He's been very choosy because he could have been a head coach 2 years ago. Definitely could have been last offseason, and he has stayed put with the Lions. So I guess that's still out there as an opportunity. Maybe he'll just say thanks, but no thanks. He's going to be very selective. But the other thing, too, is we talked about yesterday, Jerry is not going to, it's not like he's going to money whip you and say, give you like, leave you with no choice. But man, the Cowboys, I mean, they are America's team. They are the most valuable franchise. Why wouldn't they? There's no salary cap on coaches. Why wouldn't they go ahead and just overpay for whoever the best guy is and leave him with no choice but to say, sorry, even if I grew up wanting to be a Bears coach my whole life, the Cowboys are going to do the thing
money
where they pay me $10 to $20 million more or whatever per year. Who
cares? We don't even know the size of the check he would write for a championship. He definitely would money whip a head coach, Eric.
So Adam Schefter saying he's still saying he's going to be very selective. I wonder what that criteria is.
But everyone wants to be able to call plays. I know that.
Because if you want to be involved and like have a team that's going to honor a 5-year contract, I think you can get that here.
You absolutely can.
You know, that's a concern, I think, for first-time head coaches. They're going to be, like, fired in 2 years.
One and done.
Yeah.
You think $15 million a year, isn't that what he was asking?
Well, that's the thing. And Matt Owen reminded us on Twitter today, last offseason, it was Ben Johnson that was apparently and reportedly wanting $15 million a season to be a head coach somewhere.
Confirmed? And was that confirmed?
That was, it was reported. I don't know. It was
not confirmed.
It was widely reported.
But widely reported.
Okay. Gotcha.
Allegedly.
So it's allegedly he wants $15 million a year. Andy Reid makes $20 million a year.
Yeah.
McVay and Shanahan are allegedly in the $14 to $15 million a year range. Mike McCarthy, of course, $4.5 million a year.
Yeah.
$4.5 million per year for Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Will Jerry be willing to go up over $10 million per year on the coach?
No, I could see him 7.5, 8, somewhere in there. But Jerry wants somebody that's going to be absolutely loyal to him and doesn't want to break the bank. You know, it's clear this the money angle is important. Maybe 15 for Bill Belichick.
If he were to go 15, then I think that he would. You'd have to look at what your staff. Okay, what do you want for your staff?
You're doing it by yourself.
Cutting corners there with the assistants.
Yeah. You don't have an offensive coordinator because you're calling the plays. Well, so that's no OC for you.
There you go. I mean, you know, like I say, that Joe Philbin, some guys, you know, were let go here a little bit ago just because of some money situations.
Totally. Yeah. That's part of the reason why I think, like, I don't think we should be getting our hopes up for Ben Johnson to be the head coach of the Cowboys.
I'd question whether he'd even get an interview.
Because they wouldn't even try to, or he would turn it down.
I just wonder. They seem to want to go the route of somewhat of an established, proven, you've got head coaching experience. I would love that if they did it. I would love that. But it's just...
Mike Vrabel's going to end up coaching this team, isn't he?
I could see it. Absolutely. Because they might look at that and say he's got some Dan Campbell in
him.
And he's got head coaching experience, and he had success in Tennessee.
You know, the other thing about being selective is you want a situation where it's clear you're going to be able to win unless you totally screw it up or have horrible injuries. And I would think for the foreseeable future, right now, looking at this Cowboys roster, we don't know. It's ambiguous. The future is... I don't know when they're going to get back to the playoffs. They got to start drafting well.
Totally. And I do wonder the status of Dak right now. Is that an asset? Is that a pro if you're a coach trying to decide if you want to be the Cowboys coach? Is that in the pro column, or is that in the con column?
I think that the only shot you have at the job is if the owner and general manager ask you and you want to deal with Dak. The minute you don't want to deal with Dak, you're not a candidate. If a guy says, you know, I'm not too sure, I mean...
Yeah, and that could make you... list of candidates could be cut down quite a bit because guys look at Dak now as not an asset, but crap, you got this injured quarterback who is now the highest paid for the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, he won't be the highest paid for the next 4 years, but you have him locked up at a big number for the next 4 years.
Well, thank you, Chief. Mm-hmm. An edition of The Finest is in the books as we head now to another Eric, the Eric Kendrick Show here on your home of the Cowboys. We'll chat with the Cowboys middle linebacker, how he's doing going into another big game week, and that's next right here, the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.